Perhaps one of the, well, should I start it again or I think I need to press that blue button. So last month we looked at Psalm 23, and today we're going to look at Psalms 137. Have you ever read that before? Psalm 23 talks about the blessing of being God's sheep. And Psalm 137 instead is full of sadness and ends with curses against the enemies. No wonder we don't hear that much during our Sunday service. Even when we read through the Bible, we can't help but ignore what we have read and move on to other more normal Psalms. So why are we reading that today? By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept. When we remember Zion, those people were in exile. They were captured, they were deported to Babylon. They were no longer in Zion, which is their homeland, which is God's land. I would like to propose that we are in exile too. Is it because that we cannot go back to the church building? No, I hope you know that by now the church is not limited by the physical location. We are the church. So why are we in exile? We're still worshiping God, although we are using a recording instead of live. But I mean, we are dedicating everything, the best, to God this morning. Are we in a foreign land? Not quite. We are quite at home in New Zealand. Well, let me rephrase. Are we in a world that is owned by foreign gods? I think we are. We're at a time that we walk through the darkest valley. That's why we are reading this today and see how this psalm could be our prayers. Let me read again. By the river of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remember Zion. There on the poplar, we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs, our tormentors demand songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? From these few verses, we know that we in the psalm are the people in exile. They were in Jerusalem. Perhaps they were the temple musician in Jerusalem, the worshiper like our worship band. Before they were deported, they sang hymns of Zion at the temple. They know who God is. They know what God has done for them. The psalms that Gayu used for the call for worship, Psalm 136 and the psalm before that, 135, those three psalms belong to the same group. And imagine you have these three psalms sung out by the same group of people in Jerusalem. In 136, it said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." In these two psalms, especially in Psalm 136, they count the providence and the protection God has shown to them during the past, from his creation to the salvation to the Israel, saving them from Egypt. From his protection along the way to Canaan, to the in the wilderness, he provide food. From his love to the poor ones, to his grace and compassion to his servants. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. This phrase appears in every single verse in Psalm 136, all 26 verses. But they were in Babylon's canals. They were not in Zion. They are in Babylon. They were far from Jerusalem. They were far from their homeland. How could they sing the song of Zion? They're in a foreign land. His love endures forever. They no longer experience God's protection nor providence. The worshippers in Jerusalem now live in Babylon, worked for their enemies every single day. They brought their harps with them, but the harps were on display on the tree. They no longer play, nor practices, no more practice, no more preparation of music for God. As they They were not in Zion. But we think, well, worshiping God shouldn't be limited by a physical location, right? Why couldn't they sing the song of Zion? As a Christian, we probably will say, like Paul told us to rejoice in all circumstances. Why couldn't they just keep singing in all circumstances? Have they abandoned their faith? First one told us that instead of singing, they sat and wept when they remember Zion. For Jewish people, there's a ritual when your family passes away. It's called sitting shiva or shiva. It's a week-long mourning period, a time for despair, for lamentation, a time to talk about the loss, to accept other people, to comfort you. For the people in exile, the worshippers, they were in this sitting shiva. It's not only for lament for the dead, it's for Zion, it's for the city, Jerusalem, because it was destroyed. Think about like a church building have been destroyed, it's that kind of thing. Everything have been burned down. So if you see those people, I mean, see the worshippers sitting there, would you ask them to cheer up? Would you ask people who were weeping to cheer up? Well, sometimes we do, right? When we see people like crying and say, we're insensitive, we do that. But that's unintentional. But here, those people ask them to sing songs of joy. Were not their friends. They were the captors, the tormentors, they were the enemies. They were the mockers. They're trying to mock Israelites, perhaps trying to mock our Lord as well. Imagine if the worshiper saying about the unshakability of Zion in the middle of Babylon, which has just destroyed Jerusalem. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? The temple worshiper could have obeyed, hid their tears, and sung some joyful songs as their new master requests them to. However, they didn't. They resist the order. They remain true to themselves. They didn't cover up because they couldn't forget Zion. They were not willing to forget Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Remember, this is not a historical narrative. It's a poem. It's a prayer that to express your feeling. In reality, maybe there was time that they followed the order and they were when they were forced to sing a song, and then afterwards they reflect and they express their true feelings. They felt singing song at that time was like hurting a second time, and then they say, "How can we sing the song of the Lord while we're in a foreign land?" Living in the foreign land, they want to remember Zion. It's because of the exile they are now no longer in Zion. At the start, we said, I said, we are in a foreign land. We're not in Zion, we're not in Eden, we are not in Galilee with Jesus. We are not yet in the new heavens and new earth. We're here in this world. Think about that. Unless you try to hide among your church friends all the time, you won't feel like you're at home in this world. Maybe tens of years ago, when the church was the center of the Western culture, not now. At that time, you can safely assume that people knew about Jesus. They got what you mean by the gospel, love and forgiveness. They understood what you believe and the language you use. We were at home, some sort of Zion in the world. At that time, when you sing Amazing Grace in a public space, people appreciate and they sing with you. But you know that the song doesn't mean much to many atheists. When we wholeheartedly sing the line that saved a wretch like me, people question why anyone would think themselves as a wretch. It must be a very unhealthy self-image. They probably think that they aren't a wretch, so they don't need to be saved. It's a totally different world now. Christianity, we are on the edge of the culture now. If you notice, if you open your ears, if it hasn't been your turn to be mocked yet, it will be. There will be times that, like, even when you try to pray before your meal, people around you might ask you, "Can you pray for us as well? Give thanks for the food." And then while you pray, they take away your food, and then they said, "Your God has not provided food to you today." There may be a time in the future, I always imagine that, like, saying during a wedding, when I was about, I mean, as a celebrant, when I was about to say, "Where what God has joined together, let no one separate," and then a guest may stand up and mock me. "Look at those divorces among your Christians. You better say it loud, the pastor, so that God will do something about it." I mean, when you look at the statistic, like, marriage amongst Christians doesn't last much longer than atheists or other religions. I mean, if it lasts longer. Have you got any friends that is quite anti-Christianity? This, I mean, the cases that I said might sound extreme, but I'm sure some of you have some kind of experience like that. When we are in foreign land, especially when we fail to follow God's command and then things turn ugly, what would we do? Do we just sing praise louder? If people see that in our church we don't love each other, does singing louder help? If a brother and sister didn't obey God, would you sing loudly that blessed are the people who obey the Lord? You see, those worshipers, they chose to hang up their harp. They no longer sing. They couldn't praise God, who is the protector, who is the provider. They can only weep in sorrow. They knew that as a whole, the Israelites has not followed God's commands. They knew that they were punished for worshiping idols. They remember the good times in Zion, and at the same time, they remember that they were now deported to Babylon. We should also remember what we have done as an individual, as a local church. On the first Sunday of this month, the 15th anniversary, Jonathan shared with us of some photo, if you remember, some good times. And he also reminded us what happened last year, when we, as a church, as a whole, we didn't do well. Probably last year, we should hang up our guitars, stop our worship, to lament our sins. It doesn't need to be your individual wrongdoing, but as a whole church, we know that we fall short of what God expects. And when we remember that, we should sit down in sadness. Remember, we should remember. But do we stop there? We don't. This worshiper didn't stop there. They didn't recover overnight, but they didn't lose hope. Let's read on. "If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy." Well, they didn't sing praises out loud as the response. They didn't take out the Ten Commandments and point out the sins of the Babylonians, the sin of the foreign land, which, like, the first one in the Babylonians list would be worshiping other gods. They didn't point finger to others. They just look at themselves, and then they look to God. Look at themselves, and then look to God. The worshippers sat there and haven't done anything. But they haven't given up. They haven't given up. Their action, again, is to remember. to remember God this time. You see, the reason for my right hand to forget his skills, with his right hand forget his skills, like he's no longer playing guitar. Not singing and playing music then.
Good morning, Mary. Thank you for doing this job.
I think the reason for them to forget that is that they remember God. The reason for their tongue to cling to the roofs of their mouth, their silence, is that they do not want to forget Yahweh, the Lord. Their identity as people of God does not rely on being in Jerusalem, does not rely on singing the songs down in front of their enemies. Their identity relies on remembering that God is their highest joy. Where their joy come from? It's all from God. They were not able to sing joyful song, even their enemies trying to force them to sing. Cheer up doesn't work on someone in sorrow. Nothing outside can change what is inside our heart. But through remembering God, remembering Jerusalem, remembering the most precious God with us experience that they had, the worshippers' hearts slowly started to rejoice. Through not forgetting the distant past that God is with them, they gained strength to lift this difficult presence. We know that troubled hearts won't be able to rejoice unless they have hope for the future. You know, in this world, bad guys win most of the time. Let's accept that. Let's live with that. Yes, our God is our provider and our protector, but he didn't promise that we would win this world. While we tried our best to make this world closer to what God wants to see, we fail 9 out of 10 times. On the other hand, imagine that if we succeed 9 out of 10 times, then Jesus Christ can stay with the Father. He doesn't need to come the second time. When the bad guys win, no matter is whether we did something wrong, we did things wrong, or they just out evil us, what do we do? Do we fight back? Or do we voice out the truth and condemn them? What do we do? These worshippers were silent. But then when the worshipper voiced out, they cry out loud to God. They cry out their feelings. They cry out what they think is just. They cry out what they want. Verse 7, they said, "Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down," they cried, "tear it down with their foundation." That's what they done. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who sees your infant and dashed them against rocks. It started with reminding God to remember. Because they remember God, they now asked God to remember. The tone was strong. They almost command God to remember. "You must remember. You must remember what the Edomites have done to us." They were asking for revenge. How do you feel about that? Are they lacking in love? Sometimes as Christians, we hear more about love than justice. We forget what our God is like. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, 9 to 10, very familiar verse, the Lord said, "Know therefore," some versions said, "remember, remember that the Lord your God is God. He's the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandment." But listen to this. "But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him." God has not changed. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has the same character as his Father. Somehow we didn't see that. The worshipper remember who God is. They knew he would repay. They dare to ask God to revenge. As a Christian, we may say Christians should be nice people. We won't ask God for revenge. Do you? Yeah, we won't ask God, but instead we take revenge with our own hands. There's a reason for the need of repayment. Repayment is important. That's justice. That's the justice that our hearts long for deep down. But when we use our hands to execute that, it's very dangerous because we don't really know what is just. So what the worshipper did was actually the best way to get revenge. If it is just to destroy Babylon, God will repay them and that won't be slow. And if they are in such a pain because what the enemy have done to them, to upon their anger, make them want to throw their enemy's infants to the rock, they say to God. And we should do the same as well. We don't need to hide. We don't need to be shy. But remember, don't use your own hand. Just say it to God. When we want to see justice, the best way is to pray to God. The worshipper trusts that God is the judge. They remember that the Lord is their shepherd. The Lord is still their shepherd. They didn't forget the shepherd, and the shepherd didn't forget them. In the presence of the enemies, God prepared a banquet for them. It's not a battle for us to fight. It's God's battle. It's the shepherd's battle. Sheep won't fight wolves. We just can't. The shepherd will. The Lord is still our shepherd in the darkest time. I would like to give you a few reflection questions. During the darkest time, do you hide your emotion? What do you do? Were you afraid to whip or to be angry? When you couldn't sing, do you still remember God and the banquet that we have been invited to? And are you willing to pray to God and ask Him to remember to repay instead of trying to do things, trying to execute that with your own hands? I would like to give you a few minutes, 1 or 2 minutes, and if you have things to share, or maybe just do your own reflection, let's have a few minutes to think about this.
Thanks, Pastor Derek. If you would like to share about some of the things you've been thinking through, or even just what has God placed in your heart this morning, then feel free to put your name down in the chat, and then we will give some time for you to share as well. So we have Simon.
Just wanted to kind of say how during Equip we've been meditating on Psalms as well, and just wanted to say that it's very similar in themes and stuff, and like especially something that I remember quite well is we had a discussion around, you know, looking at Psalms and hearing people say, like, wishing that God would like crush their enemies or like destroy them, and just feeling a bit uncomfortable with it. But when we talked about it, we came to the conclusion that at the heart of it, it's about being honest with how you're feeling to God, which is very important. And also in all of it, they're always asking God to move rather than doing it themselves. And I think that stuck with me.
Awesome. Thank you, Simon. Anyone else? Cool. If not, then we will turn to announcements.